Yeah, my sister was here.
Well, it's going now. Right. Well, today is the 3rd of October 1987, and we're recording with Mum some of our early stories. So there's Mum, you say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Jo.
Hello.
Well.
Hello.
Me, I'm Liz.
Hello.
Steve.
Hello.
Jack.
Hello.
Ben.
Hi there.
And John.
Hello.
Hello. Right, well, I'd quite like to kick off hearing about the people who went out to Otago, the early people who went out there.
Otago.
Who were they? The ones who went on the
Philip Lang. My grandfather, that's your great-grandfather, David Greig, left, and I think he worked as a cook. I've also heard that the meals are terrible on the early boats, but oh, that's where he was. He was in the gully.
And how old was he? You know?
How old was he?
Well, how much more than a boy?
Oh, he was only just a boy, really.
He
came out on the Philip Lang to Otago.
That was one of the
second ship that was under the John Wycliffe.
That's right.
So that was
1848. Stop it, see if it's doing recording adequately.
Right.
We're going to do that now.
No, keep going.
Oh, well, and he liked New Zealand. I think he was inspired with the thought of getting land in New Zealand and coming to New Zealand. So he went back with the Philip Lang to England, this is as far as I know, and then he applied, you see, for a berth, and he came back to New Zealand. But he came back to New Zealand with his bride, and he married Isabella Harvey.
Married her in England.
Married her in England, in
Scotland.
Now, she was considered delicate. Her mother and father were very, very distressed that Isabella would go off to a place like New Zealand. However, she lived until she was 95. They lost their first baby.
Did they come back on get a berth on the Philip?
Well, no, they came back on another boat, and I don't know
which one it is,
but I know somebody who's got that record,
that's the one they tried to check on, Mother and I, at Littleton, and went through all the church records and couldn't find it, but it was the Anglican church records.
Yes, and some of the other baby graves were never marked or anything, they were just buried in it.
So it was buried on land?
It was yes, it was born in New Zealand, I think.
How long did it take to come out on those days?
Well, I couldn't tell you, but this panel has all the information which we'd be able to sort of get in touch with her somehow.
And where did it leave from?
So, well, Edinburgh, I believe.
Right.
Yes. So that's a little.
Here and that baby was born in
Littleton. In Littleton before. She didn't go over, hadn't gone over the hill, as it were, to.
Yeah, and then did they get to stay on that boat and go down to Otago?
Yes, I think so. I really don't know how they travelled from Canterbury to Otago. But you see, Otago was being opened up, and they got a few, 40 acres, I think it was given, or they were able to buy 40 acres of land, and he bought that from the Tari. But you see, that's a very, very wealthy, good country, grows anything.
Mm.
But he also went gold mining, and his, what would you call it, his certificate as a gold, his claim, is now in the Otago Museum.
Oh,
yeah, David Greig's.
His certificate?
Yeah, I've seen it hanging there.
Did he have any luck in finding gold?
Well, he didn't find very much. In fact, he was a poor man when he died, so perhaps he didn't find any. But he worked hard, and my mother was very fond of
this. This was the frail Isabella. Had how many children?
Well, you have to count them up for me. The one, they died, and then there was Jim, was the eldest, and Jim and Madge, and Isabella and Jack, no, another boy, and I think he was David, and he died at 18. My mother was always distressed about that. She never ever spoke about Dave dying without sort of being sort of really quite moved about it, because then she came along, then there was Margaret, then there was Marion, and Jack was the last one.
Right. Hmm. So I haven't counted
it. I haven't either.
Seven
children.
I think there were seven, yes, she had seven children.
Got it on there. And then, so, and your mother was Isabella?
No, my mother was Marion.
Where did she come from that?
She came, she was the last daughter.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She was the last daughter, you see. She was the youngest daughter. There's three of them.
So no, your mother was Marion Greig?
My mother was Marion Greig, yes. Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yes. And Auntie Belle was Isabella Greig.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Mm. And this grandma, my grandma. You'd be your grandma.
Yes.
She was the one who got the sewing machine brought out to
me. Yes, there was a sewing machine was brought out to the Woodside. That's where they lived in the Taree Plains.
Mm-hmm.
And her sewing machine came out, and they visited the neighbours came from miles around to come and see this wonderful thing, this sewing machine.
And it was a
Riesling sewing machine.
All the way from Scotland.
Well, I suppose so, yes, yes. And she had a lot of fancy.
To the Taree on a bullet?
Yes, it was brought out on the back.
Maybe I can't remember some of these things.
Yeah, well, I know the bits of them, but not who did what when.
And I can always remember that. When I was growing up, I wanted to learn to use my mother's sewing machine. And my mother was rather proud of it. She loved her sewing machine. It was a good one. It was a bit of a sacrifice to have it. You know, it was something she really valued. And she wasn't very keen on this youngster trying on the sewing machine. And I can remember Granny, who really was she might have been delicate as a young thing, but she wasn't very delicate later on. She held her head in the air and she said, well, if you refuse to let the child learn to sew on the sewing machine, she will have my machine. But my mother didn't want that to happen, so she gave in and I was able to use my mother's machine, which was supposed to be a beautiful one.
Which would have been the
Oh, no.